Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online and 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. Usually it's easier the earlier you get on in the show. Later on in the morning, it'll get it all jammed up. But as usual and customary, we have some technology news for you. What do you got there, Bob? Anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, I got a couple of articles that I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I've been running a Fitbit for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
Yep.
And I got some bad news this morning.
Oh, no.
Google is buying Fitbit.
A lot of money.
Google pushes further into healthcare with Fitbit, raising new privacy concerns.
New?
Can you imagine that?
Oh, they already were reading your Fitbit, too. Come on.
No, not yet. Because Fitbit hasn't been sharing that information. It's private between you and the people that you share it with.
Gotcha.
In your groups.
Yep.
Which, you know, they took away a lot of the groups, about a year or so ago.
Yeah.
But this, if it goes through, then, you know, it'll complete in like 2020. And we'll put a note to that. But, yeah, I'm very disappointed. And
yeah.
Google's trying to improve their, they came out in 2015 with their Watch OS.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that hasn't really been taken off the way they'd like it to. And they've got partnerships with Tag Heuer and, you know, all sorts of big watch companies, but their watches aren't taken off. So they're hoping that to get a little boost because Fitbit is really the leader in terms of the health tracking technology.
Sure. Well, yeah.
The hardware isn't as good as, or Fitbit's hardware is better than anybody else's.
Even Apple Watch?
Well, yeah, I don't know about the Apple Watch. They didn't make the comparison in the article to the Apple Watch. But Fitbit has been the leader.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry to see him go. You know,
come over to my side. I use
the problem with the Apple Watch is it's only good for about a year, and then you got to trade up.
Yeah, I know, right. And you got to upgrade, and there's no room. I've been very happy with my Samsung watch, and it's a smart watch that looks like a watch, and it takes my heartbeat and all that kind of stuff, tracks my steps, and it actually looks like a watch.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. I know that the Google folks were hoping for a Pixel watch, and what are you going to do?
Yeah. So,
in other news, here in Connecticut, Pratt & Whitney is having some issues with Boeing. They've been doing these software tweaks on their engines, and they've been affecting the Airbus A220s. And basically, the they've had a bunch of aborted landings and landings with issues and excessive vibration on these engines. And so what's happening now is, you know, Pratt's been able to deal with maintaining engines, and they communicate with the engines and are able to monitor engines. And, of course, you can update the software on these things. And they've been messing with it to the point where you might be having some issues with what they've been doing. And they may want to check and do some more testing before you upgrade these engines out in the field, because you're finding that they're, you know, bits and pieces are being affected. They don't know what exactly is happening here. They don't know what the root cause of the engine failure exactly is, but they've been doing these updates. And, you know, and now that we're so connected, where companies can update things like cars on the fly, like Teslas, and engines on the fly, you got to really hope they're going to do a better job of testing. I mean, we saw with Boeing and what they did with their MAX airplanes, where they didn't do such a good job there and put one device in place as a fail-safe as far as testing. I think it was airspeed or...
But they saved money. These sensors were very expensive.
Yeah, they only put one sensor in instead of two. But I'll put a link in here for you. These engines are pretty young, and to be having these types of problems, I don't know who Pratt uses to do the updates. I highly suspect it's the third world doing the coding. I highly doubt it's folks here in America doing these updates. And I got a bad feeling that possibly between the translations back and forth between the folks in the third world updating the software for us in the first world. Well, I don't know. Maybe we're having these troubles. I'm just speculating. I don't know.
Would you rather pay somebody $125 an hour to code for you, or would you rather pay somebody $1.50 an hour to code for you?
Yeah, I'm just guessing. That's who's doing these updates. I'll put the link up here on the story. Of course, it's from my favorite news site out there in the UK, The Register. I'll put a link up here for you. But it's, you know, should make you think twice a little bit. About what's been going on in the airline industry, in the aerospace industry.
It's amazing more of them aren't falling out of the sky.
Let's hope they don't. In other news, you know, I've talked to you guys about cutting the cable. Now, it's cutting the cord, right? People talk about cutting the cord. You're not actually cutting the cord. But you actually can cut the cord if you happen to be in West Hartford, because there are alternatives to cable broadband and DSL. It's called GoNetspeed. It's a fiber company. But we've talked about this, and I've talked about the tool I use to do my streaming. I use an NVIDIA Shield. And NVIDIA is one of the premier names in video cards in our business for CAD-based video cards, high-end display video cards. Well, NVIDIA has an update to their Shield where they're going to actually upscale. You went out and bought that 4K TV, right? I'm sure you did. Everyone's got a 4K TV these days. Well, NVIDIA now can upscale your 1080p broadcast to a 4K for you, even though it's not 4K, which is pretty cool. And it's only a couple $100, and you're able to, again, hand over your set-top box, your cable box, to the cable TV company. You've been renting that for $13 a month. And just buy a streaming box for $199, so it pays for itself, connect to a fiber connection, and you're done. You're online. You're doing everything through... Heck, I saw the World Series was advertising YouTube TV. I was watching the World Series on YouTube TV. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So cutting the cable these days is very easy. The cable companies are shaking in the boots. Thank goodness. We're all excited for competition. And if you guys are there in West Hartford, I suspect all of you guys have already cut over to the $50 a month fiber service you have right in your backyard. 150 megabits for $50 a month, flat, no increases, guaranteed for life. It's mind-boggling if you haven't.
I think the people in West Hartford enjoy paying more money. I mean, they'd rather pay $300 a month, get 10,000 channels, and only watch five.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I heard somebody recently remind us that we're the land of steady habits. So we keep voting for the ding-a-lings in Hartford, and we keep connecting the old-fashioned way to cable TV.
The percentage of the old-fashioned POTS landlines in Connecticut is the highest in the nation.
Yes, keep paying for your old phone lines. But these new NVIDIA Shields are all powered by Android TV, and it's an amazing platform. I highly recommend you take a look at it if you want to easily cut the cable And you can still use cable broadband to do your streaming. You know, if you don't have access to a fiber service in your area, and you can still save a ton of money. But we'll put a link up here for you. It's definitely worth checking out. I mean, mine is only a couple of years old, and I'm considering, if I have to get it through committee first, upgrading my little shield to a next level up here. It's only a couple hundred bucks. I've already saved so much money on my cable bill that, you know, I could buy a ton of these things because of how much we save. Most people pay a car payment worth of dollars towards your entertainment these days if you're running cable TV.
The problem is when you save money here,
yeah,
you usually end up spending it over here.
It does happen. It does happen. So I'll put a link up there for you guys. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I got another article here.
Yeah.
Marvel is censoring films for China, and you probably didn't even notice.
You're kidding.
No. So there's there's a whole other layer to Marvel films bringing in big dollars for the world's biggest market.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Skyrocketed to stardom in Sherlock in the BBC 2010 TV series about a modern-day Sherlock Holmes.
An amazing series. I highly recommend it. It was an awesome series.
It was very good.
Yeah.
And he's a good actor. I like him. I liked him in Star Trek, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. The actor leveled up. He played...
Khan,
yes. Mm. Oh, he was good in it. Yeah. Anyway, the actor leveled up 2016's Doctor Strange, playing a slightly different kind of genius in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is now one of the biggest heroes in the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm not sure about that, but we won't debate it. But go ahead.
Having used his powers to mastermind the Avengers' greatest victory ever.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of heroism comes at a price. Doctor Strange succumbed to one of Hollywood's oldest villains, whitewashing.
Oh boy.
In the 1960s comic, a Tibetan monk guides Strange's magical training.
Oh, that's right.
In the 2016 movie, his mentor is instead a Celtic woman played by Tilda Swinton. The recasting came as the lesser of two evils, according to the director, Scott Derrickson, who said he wanted to avoid Asian stereotypes.
Wait a minute. I thought he did go to Tibet, though. So they actually redid the movie for China?
Right. But according to one of the film's writers, there was also fear of the Chinese backlash for any connection to the Tibetan sovereignty dispute, in which China asserts rule over independence-seeking Tibet.
Yeah.
So there's... a whole bunch more to the story, but that's as far as I'm going to go. But the point is that they're doing this to all sorts. They're changing the stories so that...
they don't offend China.
Right, because these are 1960s comic books. I mean,
sure.
I grew up with this Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC Universe and, Superman, Batman, and all of that.
You got to keep China happy. Got to keep them happy.
Well, we want their money. Well, where do they get their money? They got it from us.
They got it from us.
Thank you, President Nixon, and your world-famous trip to China.
I know. All right, very good.
1974.
We'll put links to all these stories out on computertalkwithtab.com and get right to your calls after the break. Here we've got Mark in Florida, we've got Rich in Westerly, and we've got Jack in Middletown. So hang on, guys. We'll get to your calls. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right, and we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls, and let's go right to Mark in Florida, Cocoa, Florida. Huh, Mark? What's going on?
How you doing? Good morning.
Morning.
I am trying to watch my cable off of my laptop, which I know is not the best situation, but what's happening is one channel specific is pixelating, but all the other ones are perfectly clear.
Are you streaming it, or are you using some sort of receiver?
Just go into their website and it's Spectrum.
Okay.
And just click on Watch TV, and it brings you to the menu, and you bring up whatever you want to watch, and when I do it on my iPad and iPhone, that channel's perfectly clear. It's just amazing that it's just this one channel completely.
I agree. That is kind of weird.
Yep.
Because the resolution should all be happening through the app, right? You're using the Spectrum app?
Yep. Yeah.
So do you have the ability to lower the resolution on the app?
I could try that. I also plugged it into a TV with an HDMI cable to make sure it wasn't, my monitor on the laptop.
Yeah. But it's the same problem, right?
Yeah, yep.
So I'm thinking that they don't have the ability to push out the amount of data that you need. So if you lower the resolution, probably you're doing 1080. I'm guessing if you lowered it to 720.
Yeah, that'd be a good test.
Yeah, if it does that, then that's what your problem is.
What channel is it? Just curious.
Oh, Fox News?
Fox News. I was going to say maybe you're watching
Nancy
C-SPAN.
Pelosi is doing something.
Yeah, well, you don't want to see her in high res anyways. I don't know. I think... Why would do that? It makes no sense to me. It's just
it's
a regular channel.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but down in Florida, they're notoriously slow internet down there.
Yeah, but you can just change the channel on the same app and get perfectly good resolution.
Yeah, well.
So that's a computer. That's not his computer.
My speed is close to 100.
Yeah, your speed's way more than you need. That's fine.
Yeah.
So it comes back down to your device, like Bob said. Why it would cause this issue on one channel is beyond me. I think reducing the resolution, if you can set the resolution on the app, would be an interesting test.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm watching it as we're talking.
Yeah.
It just went to a commercial, and it's perfectly clear.
The commercial's clear, but the show is not.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Again, you don't need that much resolution for a small laptop screen. So it's 720p. Just see if you can change it in the app and see if it helps the program. You may have to do some searching on this. I mean, it could be a Spectrum problem. It could be Spectrum itself deciding to not put its effort into that particular channel for some other reason. I won't have to go no tinfoil hat too much here, but there is absolutely no reason the app can't handle that channel the same way it would handle ESPN, right?
Well, maybe Spectrum is filtering them.
Maybe it's causing trouble. I mean, that would be bizarre.
You know, like I said, if I put it on my iPad or my phone, it comes in perfect.
Right, so maybe those resolutions are set lower. And that might be why it's more of a healthy stream. And maybe Fox is sending over a higher resolution and your device can't handle it than the other. I don't know.
Is the resolution to Windows at the settings?
No, check the app itself. Like, you know, with YouTube, you can change the resolution to be a 420p, 720p. See if your app gives you the ability to adjust those resolutions. If it doesn't, you may want to check with Spectrum directly as to why it's doing this to you on your machine. Your computer, you don't want to mess with the resolution. It should be able to handle. How old is your machine?
Oh, 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, so it's plenty. Yeah, 100 megabit connection, a young computer. It's the apps processing.
It's either the app or it's on the other end.
Yeah, and remember, the app is different on your Windows PC versus the Apple app. So it could be that the B team wrote the Windows app, which is common in Windows programming. The A team wrote the app for the Apple.
Well, I'll try that resolution, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, let us know what happens. I'm kind of curious.
All right, I'll let you know. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, because streaming is a big thing, and you want to make sure you can get your entertainment easily. Let's go on to Richard in Westerly. What's going on, Richard?
Good morning, Eric and Bob. Longtime listener, and followed your advice in the past, especially when it came to trying out WebRoot.
Yeah.
And then early in October, we went into upgrading the Microsoft system to Catalina.
Mm.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Catalina and WebRoot aren't talking with each other. And I called up WebRoot and eventually got to talk to a human being in the technical department, and he said, we're working on it, man, but it's not anything going on that's going to be very quick. So the only thing they could do for me is basically put my subscription on hold, waiting for them to solve the problem.
Yeah, so that's the Mac OS.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So, you know, obviously they're not going to put as much time in the Apple side as they would the Windows side, because as Apple will tell you, they don't get viruses.
Right.
So that's probably what's going on here.
Okay. So, you know, that's the situation. I'm looking for, you know, maybe another thought process, another recommendation as to what should people with a Mac OS system getting running into this problem do. I mean, I'm using OpenDNS, and then the tech guy said to me, well, you know, even the hackers are trying to figure out how to get into Catalina, so you won't be bothered for a while. And I said, well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, so the key is we like ESET as an alternative. They're another very good antivirus program. And
did you say that again for me?
Yep, E as in Eric.
Yeah.
Set, as in hike, you know, set, S-E-T.
Okay, got it.
ESET. So you can try that. They may have the same problem. So Catalina must be a really new version of the Mac OS. As a non-Mac user, I don't know how new it is.
Yeah.
And these companies are always trying to catch up. It happens the same thing happens in the Windows world. So you're the latest and greatest, which is awesome for you, but you get to deal with the bleeding edge problems.
Well, I'm not an early adapter, and I try and lag behind just for that reason, you know. And the end of my Apple support was coming to an end after that in 3 years, and I said, well, geez, maybe if I never run into any problems, I'll process it through them now. And
yeah.
And I got myself right into trouble.
Sure.
All right, so...
check out ESET, and check out Sophos 2 is another option. Sophos, they're another alternative. What you got. You have to do what you got to do based on the version of software you have.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, enjoy the show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, we're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. We are back. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. I keep looking over back at this story about the Pratt & Whitney engines. And, you know, they released these engines in 2015. And back then, they talked to a company, you know, Flight Global magazine, and said it is, you know, they're testing the software updates that would increase its thrust output without needing any hardware changes. Well, of course. But, of course, you end up with hotter temperatures, increasing maintenance costs. So you mess around with how the engine runs, and you don't know. You know, you got, and these guys work on engines that are supposed to last years and years and years and years and years. But every time you tinker with the software, you're going to mess with its lifespan and potentially have issues. They're being told that pilots are being told that they have to be careful not to use certain combinations of thrust settings and altitude until the root cause of these engine failures are found. Now, we with the Max airline crashes, those pilots had a hard enough time dealing with the software updates on that plane. How many pilots are being trained on what altitude things they shouldn't be setting on these things thanks to the software updates that they're worried about? It just makes me a little nervous that these folks are doing everything with software updates. You know, again, our cars, our planes, our trains, I don't know. I don't trust the engineer. I mean, the programmers. Who are these guys?
I think too much of this software that they're using should be called beta software.
Yeah. I don't want to fly on a plane that's got beta software on the engine. Let's go to Jack in Middletown. Hey, Jack.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. What's up?
Well, you're scaring me about flying, but that's because
I'm not trying to. It's just an article that kind of scared me a little bit. But go ahead.
Real quick question about streaming video and recording it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think I know what DRM, digital rights management, is. I'm not positive.
Yeah, DRM is a digital rights management acronym, sure.
So, Netflix, which I don't have, is coming out with a movie this month.
Cool.
A blockbuster. Maybe you know of it. I don't know if I should mention it.
Go ahead. Well, what is it?
The Irishman.
All right, cool. I never heard of it, but that's great. You're interested in the movie.
Definitely. I definitely want to see this movie.
It's
De Niro and Scorsese, whatever.
Yeah.
But I have friends who have Netflix. I'm on a real tight budget.
Sure.
I'm on Wi-Fi. I'm on the computer.
Yeah.
And is there a way that if I took my DVD, or if they burned a DVD,
no.
Could they?
No. The easier way, Jack. No, the easier way, Jack, is for them to share their login with you.
Oh, they can do that?
Not technically, but it's done a lot.
You're allowed to share it with your family,
and you're family to them, Jack, aren't you?
Well,
so look,
kinda.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they could do that. Okay.
Well, that's the whole problem with streaming, right? Is that everyone's sharing everybody's login. I mean, and even broken up couples, divorced folks are still logging in as their divorced husbands or wives to use the same Netflix account.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my ex.
Perfect.
I swear to God.
So I feel like what's the guy name? I feel like Carson on the Karnak here. So ask her. Hey, honey, you know, in the interest of peace, can I borrow your Netflix account just to watch this tune?
Just one day.
It's
probably not going to be worth it. I may just
ask a buddy.
The problem is, it's not going to show in theaters. It's only on Netflix.
Well, right. That's part of their marketing, right? They if you want to have the subscription, you have to get it there. So you've got to know somebody in your friend group.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm on the Netflix site right now. Of course, I subscribe to Netflix.
Right.
But it says right here, unlimited TV shows and movies. Try 30 days for free.
There you go.
So
do it
just
for free.
Go sign up for the 30 days and then cancel.
I did the same thing with CBS when the Star Trek thing came out. I wanted to see what that new Star Trek was because I found it abhorrent that they were going to charge us an arm and a leg to watch Star Trek as a geek. And so I just did the 30-day. I binged it in about 3 days, watched the whole thing, and canceled it. So you can do the same thing.
All right. Great idea. I appreciate that.
No sweat.
All right.
Good luck with your ex.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. A lot of folks are dealing with that, right? Trying to share these accounts, right? Because, you know, you break up, you go your separate ways, and who gets to keep the Netflix account? Now, it goes even further, right? Because it's all based on your preferences. So the account that you're using is based on that person's preferences, and then you lose all that when you guys go your separate ways.
Each one of my kids have their own profile.
Under the same Netflix account that they're sharing under
yours?
So I
have my profile as my wife's profile, and my kids each have a profile. So,
right. But they're all logging in as you.
Yes. Because they're all my family.
Yeah, sure.
They don't share it with anybody else.
No. I hear you. All right, let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to, and actually with YouTube TV, they encourage you to share it out that way. Because that's how Netflix really grew, was all the, basically college kids pirate everything. And they were just sharing the one account. You know, all the UConn campus was using one Netflix account practically, I'm sure. And so YouTube TV said, you know what? Let's just do this. We're going to let you share it with six people in your family. So your same $50 subscription to YouTube TV covers six people. Whereas if you had a cable box, those ding-dongs would charge you $10 a box just to connect to get channels.
Well, they charge you for a box for each room.
Exactly. YouTube TV is saying, hey, get connected for free.
Need I say more?
Need I say more? Let's go to Ben in Stores. Hey, Ben.
Hi.
What's up?
I was wondering what you would recommend about backing up a PC. What kind of hard drive you would recommend? And what criteria you would use for it?
What kind of data are you backing up, Ben? Just regular word processing, spreadsheets, or pictures, or what are you backing up?
Yeah, basically that.
Okay. So you need multiple shots at your data. So you need multiple pieces of media. So one hard drive is nice. I would recommend a couple. So you would get maybe one or two, an A and a B, and you would back up your documents and your pictures to A, and then next couple days you back it up to B, and that way you've got two shots at your data in case somehow one of those backups doesn't work. Using just one target is a bad idea because a lot of folks just leave the target drive plugged in all the time, and if you get encrypted, somehow ransomware comes in and encrypts your machine, well, it's going to encrypt that attached drive too. And now you have no backup.
And if you have a NAS and you map to that NAS, your map drive is going to get encrypted also.
Right, and that's where an offsite backup comes in. But when you offsite by having A and a B, by disconnecting your backup from your computer, essentially air gapping it, it's going to be safe from being infected by any kind of ransomware because it can't be touched. So a couple of them, you know, you should have multiple shots at your data. You can use thumb drives too, but again, don't use just one. I mean, I know people that are driving around and listening to the show right now that have their entire QuickBooks for their business dangling from their keychain. That's not a good idea. You need multiple shots at that data should you need to restore from it. So as far as what you get, keep it within your budget. I mean, a terabyte drive these days, or probably 2 terabyte drive, is like $50. So shouldn't be too expensive. Are you a student up there at Stores?
Oh, no.
No?
Also, would you recommend something like Carbonite or a similar service?
Yeah, those are popular. The only drawbacks of those services is, if depending on how much data you have off-site, it could take a long time to get it back. It'll be there. So we've come across in a business case, it's usually a bad idea. But for, you know, for a personal use case, it can't. It's a good idea to have something like that. But I would have that along with the local target I talked about, a hard drive. So you could have the Carbonite offsite piece running for some annual cost, but definitely still have a local backup. You can't be too backed up. If you care about your data, you know, if you don't care about it, don't back it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Ben.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right.
All right. Bye bye. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're in West Hartford and have access to GoNetSpeed, why haven't you cut over to it? What is your, what's your reasoning? I know I told you my wife made me finally cut the cable myself because it was a procrastination thing. So I understand. Trust me, I understand. But you have access to 150 megabit internet with no caps, a lifetime price guarantee of $50. What are you waiting for? I'm just wondering. I'd be jumping all over that. If it came to Southington, oh my gosh. I couldn't wait for it. And everybody else's cable bills will go down when they come to your town.
And I'm waiting for them to come to Bristol.
So we'll be right back after this break. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tapper here till 11 o'clock. Lines are wide open. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you want to talk about cutting the cable and how to cut the cable, it is something that is still kind of confusing for people. It is very simple to do, and if you'll save a ton of money. I talk to folks about it being, if you're paying $200 or $300 on your cable bill, and then you juxtapose it to like putting up solar panels. So I suspect your cable bill in many cases is higher than your electric bill. And if you're willing to put $20,000 of panels on your roof and pay all that off over X number of decades to save a couple $100 on your electric bill, why wouldn't you just buy a $100 little streaming device and save the money like that? If you want to save a couple grand a year, streaming's the way to do it. So if you want to talk about how to cut the cable, happy to talk about it. I saw this on the news this morning. Maybe you guys saw it too. Amazon Alexa, right? Somehow the police in Florida want to get the recordings of the Alexa devices because somehow this lady was killed somehow. And they don't know exactly how. And they want to get the recordings from the Alexa. Now, I don't know. I always thought Alexa had to be triggered to start recording. I didn't, and I highly doubt she screamed Alexa when she was being murdered, or he screamed Alexa. Maybe it was his girlfriend before he murdered her. I have no idea. But the idea of Alexa being triggered is kind of bizarre during a murder.
All of these smart speakers are listening all the time.
They're not smart speakers then. They're called what? Smart microphones. That's what I call
them. So they're listening because they're waiting for the keyword.
Ah,
hey,
really?
Alexa. Hey, Google.
Gotcha.
You know? So that's
how it works,
huh,
Bob?
And then they're not supposed to be recording.
No, they're not supposed to be.
But then, you know, Alexa has had this habit in the past of just coming out from nowhere and doing this evil laugh.
I know.
We've talked about it.
Yeah. So clearly, just so you guys understand, and it was funny to watch the news folks kind of, ooh, that opens up questions. We've talked about this forever. Of course, in order for Alexa to hear the word Alexa, she has to be listening for the word Alexa. If you guys don't get that, you're crazy.
Maybe she said, hey, Alexa, tell the NSA to send help.
Yeah, right.
Call 911.
Yeah, it's crazy. So they're going to get the recording, and hopefully they find out what happened to her. It's awful that she was killed or how she died. We don't know, but somehow Alexa's been recording. So keep it in mind. If you don't want Jeff Bezos, every time I see that little smirky logo, you know, I think, I wonder what he's listening to.
It's a crooked
smile. Listening to. Yeah. What's he listening to? How creepy can he be? It was actually kind of funny. I was moving my son into his first apartment. Yay, he's out of the house. One down. And we were talking about the different types of beds his roommates were getting. And you ever heard of that bed that's called Purple or something like that? It's that foam bed that's stuffed in a box. It's called Purple. I don't know.
I think I've heard of it, but you know.
So here it is. I'm moving. You know, we're doing the whole Ross Gottlieb, you know, the guy that from the Friends, and we're moving the couches up the stairs, and we're all yelling pivot. And I'm talking about this purple bed, and literally I get back home after moving him in, and what comes up on my newsfeed? purple bed. I'm not kidding. So your phone's listening too, if you're wondering. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Jack in Glastonbury first. What's going on, Jack?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Yeah, I just switched off speakerphone.
Good.
Quick question. I'm going to be migrating to Windows 10, unfortunately. I love Windows 7, but I do all my backups using the Microsoft backup.
Okay.
And I have them all on a hard drive, staged out, full backups.
Nice.
My question is, once I go to Windows 10, does Windows 10 still support that same backup system, or is it a whole new ball of wax?
So they do have their own backup system, but your question is good. I don't know. I've never tried to restore from a Windows 10 built-in backup from the old Windows 7 as far as what it's created. That's a great question. I suspect it would. Logic would tell me it would. But then again, Microsoft's not always that logical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could keep my old system running because I'm probably going to get a new platform and everything. So,
it'll be moved.
Back up to that and then copy it over or something like that.
Well, no, you're not going to do a restore of your data using the backup tool. I mean, that's going to be tedious. I mean, you should learn how to do it, but it's going to be tedious. And I'd recommend just a simple copy and paste.
Right, yeah.
So you'll get that way your files are all intact. You're not dealing with trying to use the tool to unpack the backup file that's created. But if you wanted to practice, you could do that. It's a good thing to learn how to do if you ever had to use it.
Okay.
But we'd have to find out from listeners. I've never tried to restore a Windows 7 backup file on a Windows 10 machine. Have you, Bob? Are you doing some looking?
Yeah, I found an article on PC Magazine that I'm just reviewing here.
Okay, so PC Mag might have the answer for us.
Okay.
As to whether I would suspect it does, but don't do it that way. Just do a copy and a paste. Keep your backups separate and get it over to...
Well,
the new machine.
Yeah, okay. I understand. So once I get everything over to the new machine, I can do an immediate backup. Now I've got a good copy on a Windows 10 machine.
Exactly. Exactly. And how many pieces of media do you have, Jack? Just the one drive or a couple of drives? Or
I do a two-drive. I do a backup to two different drives.
Good.
Okay, but the way I do it, there was some article written somewhere where you can just rename the backup file on your hard drive, on your portable hard drive, and then do another backup a month later.
Yeah, like A and a B. Yeah, A and a B, and you go back months on either drive. Good. No, that's good.
But it's a little tricky because you run into, it burns up space really fast doing it that way. But anyway, that was my question. On Windows 10, is there any tool, any kind of migration tool that will migrate your Windows 7 stuff over so you don't have to completely start at scratch and reload all your software and all that kind of stuff?
The quick answer is no. You got to do it the way you did it with Windows XP. But on your previous question, I've got an article here, and basically what it says is that Windows 10 backup can read the Windows 7 backup software, but you want to only restore the files and not the operating system.
Obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope that does. So that's good news.
That's how I would do it anyway. It would be like, I got to get this file that was 6 months old that's been lost or something, that kind of thing.
Right. But no, you're going to have to reload your software from scratch, copy your data. You can export some settings. You can export your bookmarks. You can export some of your preferences.
Yeah, basically you want to go and if you go into your Windows 7 and go down into C, Users, and then your profile name, then, you can get your favorites and your downloads and your desktop and what have you from that and copy that over.
Okay.
Yeah. So good luck. What are you going to get for a new machine? Do you have any ideas?
No, I don't. I want to get what I have right now is a Lenovo B500, which is a really nice, 17-inch display monitor and everything.
Yeah.
I want to get a desktop. All-in-one that's like that, with a large screen, because I do a lot of photography playing around, and small screen stuff doesn't work very good with that.
Yeah, I would tell you then to consider a separate PC and a monitor. The all-in-ones are beautiful, right, if you have little space, but they're a pain to maintain. They're a pain to repair and deal with.
Yeah, and if one component goes,
it's the whole device that's
gone. The whole device is done.
So if you
I've had this one apart one time to upgrade the memory. It didn't have a lot of memory. I took it apart, but it wasn't too big of a deal.
Right.
But I guess you're right. I mean, if there's something in there that's, everything's kind of like all hooked together. There's no
right. It's custom.
Yeah,
whereas a nice simple box is much more maintainable.
It's almost like a standalone laptop, if you will, except doesn't fold.
And then, of course, you can always upgrade your video card if you ever got further into your photography where you wanted to do more and more with the the images. You can increase your video capability, and that all in one you can't.
I don't want to take up a lot of time, but on the type that you're recommending, do they make us? The only thing I didn't like about desktops was the fact that the box that has all the computer stuff in it seemed to take up a lot of room. Do they have anything that's really compact that will do the job?
They do. They're called Nooks. They're Intel Nooks.
Yeah.
They're really compact, but then you lose all the ability I talked about as far as upgradability.
Okay. Well, Lenovo and Dell has a real small box also.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always default to Intel.
But make sure that you're going to go with at least an i5 or better.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'll go i7.
If you're doing photography and stuff, an i3 just isn't going to cut it.
Right. Yeah. I'm already having that problem with this machine. But
how old is it?
I'll do it. Oh, geez, it's almost 8 years old.
Oh, well, it served you well then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's worked well.
So. All right, Jack. Well, good luck.
Hey, well, thank you for the information.
Our pleasure.
Yep, bye.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to go right to the top of the hour here, I'm just told. So let's get Jim in Thomaston on to see if he has get his question at least. Go ahead, Jim. Get your question in, and then we'll try to answer it after the news. What do you got?
Okay, real quick. A few weeks ago, you talked about the two-factor authentication with Apple, and that somebody there felt it was a really good thing.
Two-factor in general is a really good thing. Yes.
Let me explain one thing to you. It might not be as good as you think, because I did that with an iPhone 5S.
Yeah.
Which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And an iPad that I had at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. I still had the phone.
Yeah.
At one point, and I upgraded the iPad.
Sure.
I still cannot get in to that logon.
You locked yourself out, kid, huh?
Well, I called Apple. I did everything, you know, that I thought that I could do.
Right.
You know, and they simply will not override it in any way.
No.
Well, ask me all the the security questions.
Yeah,
you know, do whatever you got to do.
They won't,
you know, but they won't do it.
Nope, they'll treat you the same way they treat the FBI. So sorry, Jim, you locked yourself out of your phone. I can't help you, but it is pretty secure, wouldn't you say?
Well, it is.
All right, I got to go, Jim. I got to get a heartbreak here. Hang on a sec, I'll hold you over. This is Computer Talk with Tab. You'll never get out of Locked Out of Arc Show. We'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.